George Lakey has been working for social change since the Vietnam War. A Quaker, he's taught approaches to nonviolence, justice, and peace to generations of activists. And this weekend, he was in the Valley, teaching a workshop at the Community Justice Alliances for Action annual forum and speaking at Changing Hands Bookstore about his new book, Viking Economics, about the Scandinavian approach to governing and how it might do well for our country. So I caught up with him where he was staying at the Quaker Meeting House here in Phoenix, and I talked to him about his new book and about how the Quaker perspective on activism could be applied today.
What I bring especially, I think, is the experience of hundreds of years of standing up for the right thing, and not just standing up for it in a sense of witnessing to the right thing, but also how to push that point of view forward so that more and more society, for example, comes to agree that slavery is wrong. Or more and more of society comes to agree that religious liberty is a good idea. Those are some of the causes that Quakers have been associated with. And so what I try to do nowadays is to take that experience and help people to become more methodical, more thoughtful, more centered in themselves, rather than coming from a place of anger, you know, or just grievancing, but instead holding out a vision of what they'd rather have, and approaching it not certainly in an unemotional way. I'm not just talking about rationality. I'm also talking about caring deeply and showing one's passion, but doing it in a nonviolent way. I think probably Americans have seen that most clearly in Martin Luther King, mm-hmm. The more recent people. But that's a tradition among Quakers for a very long time. And since I worked in the civil rights movement, I was very happy to make that connection between that movement and the Quaker movement.
How do you tell people, how do you help people figure out how to go about that in a practical way?
Well, the most practical thing is to actually plan the actions that you're going to take. So you need to know who it is that can make a different decision. For example, a group that I work with decided that there was a bank that was financing the blowing up of mountains in Appalachia for the coal, and that was a terrible practice, both for the people who lived there and also for the planet. And so we found that bank could be a suitable target we could go after and say, stop doing this terrible thing that you're doing. You're number one financier in the country for doing it, and we say, stop. And then to be very consistent in going to places where they were counting on things being smooth, for example, bank lobbies, bank branches, headquarters, shareholders meetings, and disrupting those occasions. Actually, we shut down a couple of shareholders' meetings. We stopped the action in many, many bank branches, for example, in order to get the point across and to reveal to the public, as well as to the bank management and to the bank employees, many of whom didn't know about this, to let everybody know this is a terrible practice that needs to be stopped. And we were indeed successful.
Right. You've been doing this for, like you said, since before the civil rights movement, since Vietnam, right? And this has been your life's work. So I wonder, in light of how divided our country is today and how divisive the public realm has gotten, does it get discouraging to see where we are? Were you hopeful back then that we would be somewhere better?
Well, actually, it's ironical because our first thought is, in the situation of great polarization like we're experiencing now, that makes things harder. The reality is, though, it makes things easier to change. In the 30s, the 1930s, we had the most polarized time we did in the first half century of the 20th century, and we made the most progress. And then in the 60s, you referred to the civil rights movement, in the 70s, on environmental issues and so on, women's movement made huge strides in the 70s, LGBT people did, and so that was also a period of great polarization. It was ugly. I'm not saying it's pretty to be in a situation of polarization when people are throwing nasty insults at each other, that kind of thing, but it also is a time of turbulence when greater change can take place. So I actually look at this moment with excitement and encouragement, because I see it as another opportunity to make great leaps forward. And one of the reasons why I'm running around the country is to let people know that that's not only been our American experience, that was also the experience in Sweden, Sweden and Norway, and countries that have gone farther than we have on this road, but also made their greatest breakthroughs at times of great polarization.
I wonder also, as you're looking at this next generation and the way that you're sort of, like you said, traveling around the country trying to deliver these messages, what are your hopes for them? What are your messages for them?
My message is develop a rapid learning curve. There's no reason to keep doing the same thing over and over. For example, it's obvious that there's going to be many outrages during the Trump administration. It would be a tremendous mistake for us to be a reactive bunch of people who just keep responding to outrages, because we'll never get anything done by doing that. In fact, what worked for the civil rights movement, what worked with regard to the mountaintop removal coal mining campaign and others, what works is to be proactive and to be in charge of your own campaign and to move forward following your own campaign rather than watching the headlines and responding to every outrage that comes along.
George Lakey, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much for asking.